Now for our first feature. It's our friend Derek James again, who takes a stroll over Foundry Bridge at the junction of Prince of Wales Road and Thorpe Road. His article is read by Alan Shirley.
Thousands of people walk over it every day. Many of them arriving and departing on trains in and out of the city, often for work in the day and for pleasure at night. Our bridges never get the attention they deserve and are just walkways over the water, but they all have stories to tell and tend to survive while buildings around them come tumbling down in the name of progress. That's because we can't do without them, and thank goodness for that, because many are works of art. It was in 1888 that the widening and rebuilding of the Foundry Bridge we know today was completed at the junction of Riverside, Thorpe Road and Prince of Wales Road. The last piece in a large and complex jigsaw following the arrival of the railways. The bridge was the second bridge to be called Foundry, replacing the one which had been built in 1844. This whole area of Norwich has changed beyond all recognition because of the arrival of the railways. To begin with, there were plans to build the station in the historic centre of the old city, Tombland, with trains arriving and departing through the close. Can you imagine that? It soon became obvious that it was a non-starter. I don't think the church would have been too pleased. At that time, there was no Riverside Road, no Thorpe Road, and certainly no Prince of Wales Road. One of the workplaces by the river, the lifeblood of the city, was the old iron foundry, which gave its name to the new bridge. Where people drink, dance, and enjoy themselves in the 21st century were market gardens, orchards, and hop fields. There had been a shortcut leading to a wooden bridge across the Wensum, known as the Path Through the Hop Gardens. Then there was talk of snorting monsters, the name given to trains heading into Norfolk, and there were some people not happy at their arrival. Did we need them? Goods could be sent and collected by river or by heavy wagons, and there were plenty of stagecoaches. The first bridge cost around £6,000, while the station looked more like a stable block with a clock tower and a dovecote. By the 1840s, a track was able to carry an engine, and the local newspaper of the time reported, "Its marvellous facility in whirling along any number of loaded wagons elicited exclamations of astonishment from many hundreds of Norwich people who went to see it." The bridge and the little station served the city for 40-odd years until more and more trains started to arrive. Today they would be described as not fit for purpose. The Grand Great Eastern Railway Station was the work of Chief Engineer Wilson and architect William Ashby. Built by respected Norwich builder John Youngs, they created a landmark building which still serves the city and county well. It opened in May of 1886 at a cost of £60,000, and with the bridge widened soon afterwards, it was full steam ahead for Thorpe Station, gateway to the fine city. Then there was the Great Eastern Hotel and the much-loved Foundry Caff. Prince Wales Road, the big, bold boulevard, which had been opened with four buildings in November of 1862, became busier and busier as more people took to the snorting monsters which arrived and departed from Thorpe Station.